So I want you to think about a very key character at Christmas. And I want you to think about Mary. I want you to think about Mary. So somebody, I'm very casual speaker. Somebody tell me something they think about when they think of Mary. Anybody? Genesis? Innocent. Okay, innocent. Young. Very strong. Oh, I like that one. Okay. Not that I didn't like the other ones. Yeah. Say that again. Receptive. Very good. Say that again.
Humble.
Expecting and accepting. And she was expecting as well, wasn't she? So let's kind of dig in. I have had a great time getting ready for this. And yesterday, I called my son-in-law, who's the recent graduate from seminary, and I'm like, I just got to go over this all with you. The poor guy, probably the last thing he wants to hear from his mother-in-law. And I'm like, let's talk. We had a great conversation. But there's a couple things. So I want you to just be quiet for a moment. And I want you to think of Mary. And some of you are going to think about Christmas cards. Some of you are going to think about nativity scenes. Some of you are going to picture her in blue, because that's the way it, oftentimes she is seen. She's seen in blue. Some of you are going to picture a childlike character that we might see on a Christmas card. But I just want you to think about Mary. And I want to talk about what we know of her. So if you bring the first slide up, what do we really know about Mary? So we know that she was a virgin. She was young. She had just started probably her monthly cycle. I can say that in a group of women. Okay. So she's young. Now, in today's age, that might be as early as 10, 11. But in this culture, because they didn't have what we had, you are probably talking about a 14, 15-year-old gal. She's young. She's from Nazareth. Nazareth is probably a town of about 400. She's probably about 400, and it's in Galilee. So that's like saying from Wheeling in West Virginia. So she's from Nazareth in Galilee. Her name means excellent. Mary, excellent. She is engaged to be married to Joseph. So as soon as a young girl would come in to be able to have a baby, become able to be fertile, that is when her parents created the opportunity for her to be married. And being engaged is real different than it is now. Actually, an engagement meant you were married. You were committed to this man, but you are now at the point where you can't get back out of it. And probably her parents arranged this for her. So you're 14 or you're 15. You know that this is the guy that you're going to marry, but you didn't date him. You probably grew up in the same town as him. We don't know the age of Joseph. And the one thing we know is that she's just ordinary. There's nothing special about her. She doesn't live in a palace. She doesn't, not from a real royal family. She's like us. I live in Big Beaver Borough in Beaver County in Pennsylvania. You know what? People from Big Beaver Borough, we're just pretty ordinary. You know? Nothing fancy about us. I don't know about Wheeling, but you guys all look pretty ordinary. Maybe I better go up above, beyond ordinary. You are definitely above ordinary. But she's just a girl looking to fill her hope chest, to be ready to be a wife within the year. She doesn't read. She's just there. And suddenly, out of the ordinary, she gets a visit. Now, this is the second visit Gabriel has made in the past several months. The first one is to Zechariah and to Elizabeth, or to Zechariah. She didn't actually visit Elizabeth. And the first thing he says to her, now, you got to kind of picture this, you know? You're just out doing your stuff, and an angel, Gabriel, shows up, and the first thing he says is, don't be afraid. Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm not going to be afraid. But he shows up, and he says, you are God's favorite. You are favored. You are special. God has picked you. And she starts to take it all in. And here's what she was promised. I want you to listen to these promises. You've found favor with God. God is with you in more ways than one. Pretty soon she would not only have God with her, but she would have God within inside her. You're going to have a son. Now, she's never had sexual relationships with anyone, but she's going to have a son. Now, listen to this. He is going to be great. He's going to be the son of the Most High. He's going to have David's throne. He will reign forever and ever and ever, and his kingdom will never end. What does that say to you? You are the queen mother. You are going to be the queen mother. What do we think about with queens? Crowns, palaces, pretty dresses, nice shoes if you're Cinderella, yeah, you know. And the last thing the angel says to her is, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. She's about 14 or 15. And what does she say in response? She says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Her response shows why God favored her. She was humble. She was willing. Some of you said that in your comments about her. She was willing to do what God asked her to do. So how many of you have been in this same situation? You know God has asked you to do something. You know it. I can think of a situation Beth and I were in years ago. I knew God had asked me to start a business. I knew it. I was well known in the scrapbooking industry. I wanted to share my faith with this group. I knew that God had called people to remember. And so what did we do? I got a group of women together. I took investors. And I said, God has been calling me to start this ministry. And it is to tell people of his faithfulness. And we're going to do it through the scrapbooking world. And we started off like so strong. First year hit all of our mile markers, went beyond it. First year released in the scrapbooking industry. This is when the scrapbooking industry was really big. Remember, there were scrapbooking stores on every corner, and there was scrapbooking shows and all kinds of things. And the next year, we went to the Christian market. And we were kind of the big hubbubaloo at the Christian, they call it the International Christian Retailing Show. And we had orders, and everybody wanted us. And so we took all those orders, and we placed this huge order so we could fill them all, and took people's money. And we were invested, a distributor had our product, a distributor. That's the way the Christian market worked at that time. So distributor took our product, took the orders for us, took the money. We ordered the product in advance, knowing that the orders were there. And in between the time that our product was ordered and it was time to fulfill those orders, the distributorship got sold. It got sold from Gettysburg to Georgia. So they put our product on a railway car and they shipped it to Georgia. Only one thing happened. Somewhere legalese got involved and the distributorship buyout got stuck in court. And they pulled our railway car off somewhere between Pennsylvania and Georgia, and we had no idea where that product was. and there was debt against that product that had been covered by the fulfillment of all the orders we had, because that's what we ordered, was what we had got orders for. And it sat for 6 months. And not one of those orders got fulfilled. And another company came in, created a line very quickly, and filled that order. And you start to wonder, God, did I hear you right? Did I hear you right? And each of you have had those same kind of things. You're willing to do what God calls you to do. You step up to the plate. You say, I will do it, Lord. I will do it. I'll take this risk for you. And suddenly, you get kind of sidetracked. So let's just go back to Mary. This is when Mary starts to treasure and ponder and think about all these things. So the first thing Mary does, next slide, is that she goes and visits her cousin Elizabeth. Well, we don't know that it's a cousin, it's a relative, and it's an older relative. And this is a surprise pregnancy for Elizabeth. She has been barren for years and years and years and years. And her husband went to make a sacrifice in the temple, and guess what? He came out mute. And she ended up pregnant. So she can't talk to her husband about this. And she's kind of wondering, what in the world is going on? So the angel had told Mary that Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant. And Mary goes off to see it. It says immediately Mary went off to see Elizabeth. And what's the first thing that Elizabeth does when she sees her? She announces to her, you're pregnant with the Christ child. Now, I think we told you that I have another grandchild on the way. And that daughter, that's the middle daughter, the one that already has two kids. If any of you remember, if you've been pregnant, those first months of pregnancy when it's quiet and nobody knows it yet, and you kind of keep it to yourself, maybe between you and your husband, maybe you might tell certain people. But I've known that girl's been pregnant probably within the first week that she's been pregnant. She was sleeping all the time. Every time she kept showing up at my house to eat with her family. And she didn't bring anything. I thought that was really odd, because she was the one that said when they moved back, she said, let's do weekly dinners, and we'll split off every week. I'll bring a food, you bring a food, and then suddenly they just kept showing up at our house for dinner. And every time I called her, she was tired, or every time I showed up, she was like laying on the couch. I'm like, oh, you're pregnant. But I didn't say anything, which is so big for me, because I tend to have a really big, I found a speaking engagement in a line at a bathroom. Okay, so there is definitely, yeah. So when she just told us here right before Thanksgiving, guess what? Well, actually, she didn't tell us. Our six-year-old grandson told us that mommy's going to have a baby. Oh, I already know that. But no, I didn't act that way, but I knew. But you know what it's like when somebody finally acknowledges that you're pregnant? Well, here's Mary. We don't know if she told her parents. We don't know, but we know she immediately went to Elizabeth. And Elizabeth confirms, you're pregnant. You're going to have the Christ child. And one of the things I loved about that is it said that as soon as Mary came into her being, she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she said, you are blessed. You're going to have a baby. Your baby is a Christ child. And what does her baby do inside of him? It leaps. Now, anybody pregnant in the room right now? Do we have anybody whose baby is leaping? I mean, this was both her baby and her recognized the Christ child. Mary's baby was Elizabeth's hope. Can you wrap your head around that? And she saw it, and she recognized it. And she said, you are going to be blessed among all generations. All generations are going to call you blessed. You are having the Christ child. And what does Mary do? for those of you that know, she breaks into song. She breaks into worship. And she says herself, all generations are going to call me blessed because I'm having the Christ child. I'm the one. I'm the favored one. It's going to be good. God called me to this. It's going to be good. There's not going to be any trouble. This is good, right? We've been waiting. God picked me. It's all going to be good. All my dreams are coming through. And I'm just going to be happy. I'm going to be happy because I'm going to get what I want. Oh, I hear that so much in the life coaching. So basically, when you're life coaching, you ask a lot of questions and you listen, which I've had to learn to do over the years because I tend to like to talk and tend to like to talk to about myself a lot. But I've learned to listen. And I just want to tell you about some people's stories that I've heard over the last month. Earlier this week, I sat with a woman whose husband was abusive. And they went through court battle. And she got her children. And the minute she got her children, he has not been heard from in a year and a half. No child support. Nothing. No word from him. She's dealing with her broken heart. She's dealing with her kids' broken heart. She's dealing with the fact that she has no income. And she started to work this fall. And she said to me, Sandy, all I ever wanted to do was be a mom. And now I feel like I come home at night and I'm so tired and we're not making enough money even though I'm working this full-time job and my little boy is 3-year-old, he's in daycare and my kids need me and the work needs me and all I ever wanted to do was be a mom. That's all I ever wanted to do. Or how about the woman that I talked with a couple weeks ago whose son had no idea, great, outstanding couple, and she works at a church. And her son was arrested for creating cocaine in her basement. I had no idea. And she said to me, I see people in the grocery store, and as soon as they see me, they turn around and go down another aisle. Oh, the pain. The pain of what is to come. And they were just doing what God called them to do. So here's Mary. Now, I'm just going to add, this is not scriptural. I don't want you to go and say this is scriptural truth. This is Sandy Joseph translation. But I think Mary stayed until John the Baptist was born. She showed up when Elizabeth was 3 months or 6 months, and she stayed 3 months. Do the math. That equals 9 months. And there's a very important reason why I think Mary stayed that long. And that's because, if we'll do the next slide, we have Christ's birth. So in that days, we didn't go to hospitals to have babies, and they didn't have midwives, although they did have some, but mostly the mothers would help the daughters deliver their babies. Kind of the way it used to work, you know? They would live together, they would go and live with their mother-in-law, and they would help them deliver the babies, help them raise them, kind of took a community effort here. So here is Mary, and what do we know about what happened at Christ's birth? Well, we know they had to take a long journey, right? We know they had to take a long journey, and they had to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And why Bethlehem? Well, first of all, the Old Testament tells us the Christ child is going to be born in Bethlehem. But second of all, what line is Joseph from? The line of David. And where's David's line from? Bethlehem. So away they go. Away they go. They were engaged in Mary. They were engaged, almost married, but they had never been with each other. Alone. All of a sudden you're pregnant. How many of you remember what it's like at the end of your pregnancy? You know what I remember? And I remember this most because my daughters have recently given birth. Is remember how your joints get real loose so you can push that baby out? Well, her joints were getting loose and she was on donkey. Okay? But here's the reason why I think it's so important. She was all by herself. So there wasn't a mother there to attend to her. We don't know that there was a midwife. Who was there to attend to her? Joseph, a man she had never been intimate with. And so she would have known from staying with Elizabeth how to have a baby, how to take care of it. They wrapped him in swaddling clothes. You know what that means? That's strips of cloth. And they wrapped the baby tightly with those strips because they thought it helped make the baby's limbs be more firm. But here's the key. How many of you thought, when you thought of Mary, you thought of, oh my goodness, she's in a nice-looking barn somewhere? Mm-mm. You know what barns were in those days? They were caves. Cold, damp caves. Or they could have been a room onto the house where they kept their animals. That wasn't uncommon in that day. And basically, we think of them going up and knocking on the door and saying, oh, can I stay in your inn? But it was probably a relative, because he was going to the town of his relatives. The town was crowded. They're not married. There's a young girl having a baby, and they're in a cave. So I want you to think what it smells like there. And I want you to think how dirty it is. And I want you to think of this young 14-year-old girl without her mom, without her family, giving birth to the Christ child. Now, I love public relations, and I love marketing. And if Jesus would have asked, or if Christ would have asked me to put on together the plan to have the Christ child, I could have done it big. Your women here know how to do it big. I would not have had a baby born in a manger or in a cave. I would have had the greatest PR program ever put together. I would have had balloons and fireworks and the best doctors and the loveliest Leonette for it. This is the Christ child. This is the way to the Messiah. Why would we put him in a cave? God never does things the way we anticipate them. Can I get an amen to that? He never does what we expect. Never. So he has this baby being born in this dirty place, laid in a feeding trough full of straw. And then who were the first visitors? So who do you remember coming to visit your baby first? Especially if you have your firstborn. Do you remember how protective you were of your firstborn? Wash your hands, you know. Hey, I have a daughter that's a physician's assistant, and she gave me a list of things I had to do before she had the baby. And one of them, I was like, you are kidding me. I've already been a grandmother. You're baby number four, and none of the other ones have asked me to do this kind of stuff. But who shows up? But the lowest of the lowest of the lowest. Nighttime shepherds. Now, shepherds are dirty. They haven't bathed in a really long time. Most of the shepherds are criminals, or they're just not people you want to be around. And especially the ones that stay in the nighttime, the ones that do the night watch. And they show up and they want to see her baby. That's who you told God? But I want you to think, who did Christ come to redeem? The lowest of the low of which I am the biggest. But who did Christ come for? He came for those shepherds. And again, Mary treasured. She pondered these things. She thought about them. What is going on, God? Why am I in Bethlehem? Why am I having my baby here? Why are these dirty men coming? What's going on? And how many times do we ask God the same thing? God, I don't know what you are doing. You know, when our product line sat on that railway and the bills started coming in for it, I kept saying to God, what are you doing? What are you doing, God? You called me to do this. I know you called me. I can point out the things that you did. Beth was part of that. She can tell you. And we had no access to that product. But we had the bills coming in. What are you doing, God? So then they take him to the temple. A month later, they take him to the temple. And they're going to dedicate him. And they are a poor couple. Mary and Joseph are poor. You know that. They're young. They're poor. You know that by the sacrifice they give. And two people are waiting for them, again, saying to them, this is the Christ child, but I want you to hear what they say. So the first one they see is Simeon. And Simeon says, oh, I've been waiting. I can die now. I've seen the Christ child. But he looks at Mary and he says, this child is going to be divisive, and he's going to ruin things. But what he really says to her is, and a sword is going to pierce your heart. Now, how many of you would love that as a mother of a one-month-old, and you're kind of proud, and you're taking him to the temple, and you know that he's the Christ child, and this man says to you, that child's going to hurt you. And some of you have lived this. Maybe not when they're 1 month old, but some of you have had kids that have really hurt your heart. And some of you know what that is like, to have a sword pierce your heart. But nobody wants to hear that when they're 1 month old. No mother wants to hear that. And then Anna says, recognizes the baby as the redemption of Israel. Two people again saying, this is a Christ child. Oh my goodness, if I was Mary, I'd think this is great. This is good. There are good things coming. I'm the mother of the Christ child. He picked me. I'm the favored one. God, that whole birth thing, that was crazy. I don't really know what you were doing there, and I don't know about those shepherds, but here we are, and two people are saying that. And then remember again when she goes, they take Jesus to the temple, and they leave Jerusalem without it. Now, have you really thought about this? So Jesus is 12. They're going to Jerusalem. They're making their annual pilgrimage. The women are traveling in the women's circle. The men are traveling in the men's circle. They get ready to leave. Mary thinks Joseph has Jesus. Joseph thinks Mary has Jesus. They meet up a couple days along the way, because remember, the women and men probably traveled together. And can't you just hear it? I thought you had him. But I thought you had him. But it was your responsibility. No, it wasn't. It was your responsibility. Like, have you thought about that prayer? Excuse me, God. We sort of lost your son. And we really don't know where he is. Have you ever done that with your husband or your someone, you know, where you think they have the child and they don't? Bill and I had this happen once with our middle daughter, who was always incredibly independent. We were at the beach. So, we were taking those last-minute bathroom breaks. We were staying at a big old Victorian. We went up, went up to the bathroom. The oldest one comes down. She's old enough to be on her own. I leave the little one with Bill. He goes to the bathroom. I'm already down with the oldest one. And all of a sudden, I see Bill coming down to get in the car. We're getting ready to go. No Larissa. Bill, where's Larissa? I thought she was with you. I thought she was with you. Bill, you were the one that was supposed to have her. I know, but she went to the bathroom. I put her outside. I told her to stay, and she's not there. We are in a strange town. We are getting ready to leave. We have spent the day on the beach. We are sunburned. We are tired. And doggone it, he was supposed to have her. And we couldn't find her. We looked in the front. We looked in the back. We did that again. Suddenly, We walk down the street. There is a four-way highway in front of us and a double thing there. We are just getting ready to call the police when we hear this little girl with three people coming up the alley. That little girl had crossed that street by herself. She is like 20 months. And she was found at the Catholic Church. And she's just talking to them, saying, I think my mommy's that way or that way. But I've been there, so I know what I can assume that Joseph and Mary. And here they are. They go back in the temple. And they go back. They have to make that trip back. I can kind of imagine the tension between the two of them as they come back. And they find Christ in the temple. I love what Mary says to him. How could you do this to us? She's like such a good mother at that point. What were you thinking? son, what were you thinking? And he says, but don't you know I have to be about my father's business? And what does it say? Mary treasured these moments. She treasured them. Why does she have all these treasured moments? Why do you have all these treasured moments? I could go to each table here and I could ask you, where have you seen God at work in your life? And you could tell me. You could tell me. And I want to tell you about a time a couple years ago. So 4 years ago this Christmas season, my mother was dying of cancer. And she lived in Florida. And I moved down to Florida to take care of her. And it was a really sad time. It was a horrible, sad time. Cancer's an ugly, ugly illness. And I was all by myself, and my community wasn't with me. And it was just my dad, my mom, and I, and we were trying to work through the pain, the struggle, all of it, trying to make sense of it. And my mother died December 31st. And so then the following year, I had my dad, and we moved him back up to Pennsylvania in around July. He and I packed up all of their stuff and went through it all, and if you've been there, you know what that's like. That's painful. And moved my dad into this fun community called Passavant. He had his own apartment. He just embraced it. He just did so well there. I was so proud of him. I mean, had all kinds of new friends and all kinds of things. And Christmas came that year. It was the first Christmas without my mom. And you have to realize, I'd spent every Christmas my entire life with my mom. And it was quite an ordeal. And we could count on what Christmas was going to look like. Then we started having son-in-laws, and then we started having great. I mean, everything has been in the upheaval in the last several years. But we knew what Christmas was going to look like, and here it was. And none of my girls could come home that year because it was their years to spend with other people. And I was heartbroken because, boy, did I need those girls, right? Boy, did I need them. And if they were really good daughters, they would have come home because their mom needed them. Not their mother-in-laws, but their mom needed them. But so instead, Christmas that year was Bill and my dad and myself. And Bill slept in late that morning. And so it was just my dad. And my dad and I had this really intense one-on-one and talked and shared memories. And you know what? 3 months later, God called him home. And I look back at that as the sweetest Christmas because I had my dad all to myself. But I didn't feel like it then. I felt like there was something really wrong. Something really wrong. So the next time we see Mary is we see her at the foot of the cross. We see Mary at the foot of the cross. I want you to picture it. There are four women standing there and John, the apostle. And she is standing at the foot of the cross. And she is saying to God, I'm assuming, this is not what you promised. This does not make any sense. Let's think about what she was promised. What was she promised? He was going to be a king. He was going to live forever. Nothing is impossible with God. People had acknowledged she had the Christ child. She was looking for a human king who would serve on the throne. And here he was. And some of Jesus' last words are an acknowledgement. There's my mom. John, take care of her. And she watched him die. And a sword will pierce her heart. And some of you are there right now. And I don't know what is your cross. I don't know. It could be a divorce. It could be somebody who walked down on you. It could be a wayward child. It could be the problem that Bill's coming in and there is nothing to pay them with. It could be bankruptcy. Could be drug addiction. It could be that you're going to be facing your first Christmas by yourself, without a spouse, or without a child. Or maybe your girls just aren't coming home this Christmas after you've lost your mom. I don't know what it is. You know. And you are standing there and you are saying, God, this is not what you promised. This is not what you promised, God. And you're watching your dream die. So where do we see Mary again? We see her one of two places. There were two women that went to the tomb after Christ was buried in this tomb. We know that one of them was Mary Magdalene. One of them was possibly Joseph's, was possibly Mary. There's another Mary that went. I like to think it was her. So I was talking to my son-in-law about this. I'm like, do you think it was her? And then I was just being real smart with him. And I'm like, look at that. Don't you love it that the women were the ones that showed up at the tomb? Where are the men? Where are all the apostles? They're back there hiding. And my son-in-law, oh, I hate it when they're so much smarter than I am. But he said to me, maybe that's because women know how to handle emotions better than men. Oh, you're right. But I can tell you for sure where we see Mary again. It's in Acts 1. And it's after Jesus has ascended into heaven. And it's before Pentecost. It's before the Holy Spirit comes down upon them. And all the apostles and the women and Mary are in a room praying in one accord, waiting. They are waiting. All of Mary's life, she's been waiting. She's been waiting. She waited for that baby to be born. She waited to see Christ step into ministry. She waited for that kingship to take place. She waited till she could sit and be the queen mother. She was waiting for Jesus. Remember what the angel said to her? Nothing is impossible for God. So don't you think she stood at that cross and said, come on, God, fix it. Make it right. Figure it out. Make him come back alive. Make him be the king. She's waiting. And we see her at the very last moment. She is waiting. She is waiting. And she died waiting. She died waiting for the risen Savior that we are waiting for now. And that's what I want to say to you from Mary. What are Mary's lessons to us? She recognized God's moments in her life. Absolutely. She recognized them. She pondered them. She thought about them. And I think as she stood at the foot of that cross, she remembered. She remembered those dirty angels. She remembered Elizabeth in a loud voice proclaiming, you have the Christ child. She remembered those people at the temple. She remembered the miracles she saw him do. She then had a desire to remember that God, the same God, would be faithful. He would prove himself faithful even as she waited. She put God's will ahead of her own. And some of you right now, one of the things that Kim told me when she called, she said, there's been a lot of losses in our community. A lot of losses. And you know what? I am so sorry for that, but I can tell you everywhere I turn, I see a lot of women with a lot of losses and a lot of brokenheartedness and a lot of women wondering, is this real? Is this worth it? But this example of Mary waiting in one room, in one accord, waiting. So she was willing to put God's will before her own. May it be to me as you've said. You know, those are the hardest things to say. Lord, I don't want, I want my girls home for Christmas, but may it be to me as you've said. Lord, I want that product off of that railway. May it be to me as you have said. Lord, I want to make sure Bill comes home from Kenya when he goes. But may it be to me as you said. Lord, I want this next grandbaby. I want you to promise me that baby's going to be normal, healthy, good, whatever. But may it be to me as God has, as you've said. And the other thing I want you to know about Mary is that she accepted what God's plan is. So how many of you are living the life you expected? What are you laughing for? How many of you are living the life you expected? Mary expected she was going to be queen, that she was going to queen mother. She was going to have a son that was going to reign forever. But the last time we see her, she's waiting. So just a couple thoughts that I want to share with you this Christmas. No matter what you see on Facebook, no matter what you see in a Hallmark commercial, no matter what your friends tell you, not one of us has the perfect Christmas. There is no such thing. But right now, during Advent, we wait for his coming, and we wait for his second coming. And so God is so faithful. Can you be like Mary? Can you say, even through the pain, may it be to me as you have said? You know what, God, I thought I was going to be a young bride, but now I'm like an unpregnant. Yeah, I'm a pregnant, unmarried woman. This is not cool. But if, may it be to me as you have said. Lord, I'm standing at the cross. May it be to me as you have said. I'm waiting in a room with these people praying. May it be to me as you have said. And can you look for the faithfulness of God? Those moments to treasure when you know that you know that you know that God has showed up. And it may not be the way you think it's going to be. It's the way God is working his story through it. So it's just been so much fun to dig into the story of Mary again. And I've seen her at a whole different level. So when you get those Christmas cards and you see that beautiful coffered Mary, and then, you know, the everything looks clean and the baby is in a clean manger and there's no, you know, menorah around. No, that's not the way it is. Life is not perfect like that. But God will give you recognizable moments if you look for them, and you will be able to treasure those. Do we have the last slide? I want to make sure that, maybe go back, yeah, that she treasured those moments, recognized them, and she recalled them and remembered them when times got tough, because no matter what happens, God did not change. And so we wait. Like a tree.